adversarial relationships are common on Capitol Hill. Democrats versus Republicans, liberal Democrats versus blue dog Democrats, conservative Republicans versus so-called rhinos, Republicans in name only, pro-choice versus pro-life, energy-producing states versus energy-consuming states. And to that only partial list of congressional conflicts, we can add one that is especially heated these days, House versus Senate. And it's affecting the Democrats' efforts to get health care passed. Norman Ornstein is a longtime Congress watcher. He's at the American Enterprise Institute. And Norm Ornstein, how bad is it over there?
It's very bad, Robert. This is not new. In fact, conflict between the House and Senate is as old as the Republic. One of the first lines I heard when I came to Capitol Hill more than 40 years ago was the senior Democrat advising his new colleague, "The Republicans, they're just our adversaries. The Senate, they're the enemy." That remains true, but the feelings are frayed, the emotions are rawer now than I've seen them in quite some time.
And I gather that the House of Representatives' passage of the climate bill last June contributed mightily to this present antagonism.
No doubt. For the House to pass a climate change bill was the equivalent of going through 24 hours of labor without anesthetic. Pulling together a coalition that included people from coal-producing states, from the industrial states, very wary of anything that might damage the automobile industry or the steel industry, along with the environmentalists, just took tremendous pain. They got it done. It was an amazing feat. They congratulated themselves and sent the bill into the black hole of the Senate, where it remains not quite moribund, but close to it. So for House members who are able to act with dispatch, who have moved controversial pieces through, they sit and wait for the Senate because it doesn't mean much if it's not enacted into law. It means that they go through the pain of politically vulnerable votes and don't get the advantage of having those bills enacted into law.
Now, on health care, I've read at least that the House was talking about possibly getting a letter from the Senate in which a majority would commit to voting in favor of a bill before the House voted for it itself.
This is, I suppose, what we could call the political equivalent of getting consumer protection against a bait and switch. House Democrats are particularly unhappy on the health care bill because, of course, for Democrats to get any bill through the Senate meant they had to get 60 votes out of 100, not 50, because of the filibuster rule. That meant all 60 Democrats, and it meant every compromise, including obnoxious ones like what's now being called the Cornhusker kickback, providing Medicaid relief for Nebraska to get Ben Nelson, are particularly unpopular. And the Senate, in effect, said to the House, "We can't negotiate all of these things. Take it or leave it." Now we have a way out. The way out is for the House to accept that obnoxious Senate bill with the assurance that the Senate will correct the mistakes and bring about a genuine compromise in a subsequent vote on a reconciliation package. And House Democrats are saying, trust but verify, with the emphasis on the verify. And it's one of the real sticking points. The House members are not just furious with the Senate when they don't act. They are furious with the Senate when the Senate acts and demands things in a non-negotiable way from the House, and they are wary that senators will give assurances, and then even if they are well-meaning, and they're not certain that they are, the process of the Senate will simply bollocks it up, and they'll be left once again holding the bag.
Norman Ornstein, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
This is NPR.